Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday after a great weekend of sports. UFC, college basketball, NFL moves. It's the Herd in L.A., wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1 in 2 hours. We're not in FS1 now for the first couple of hours. Joy Taylor is joining me. People were so happy in Los Angeles this weekend, Joy.
Oh, my God. It was wonderful. You know, everyone's not like, you know, I get down south, everyone's like warm and friendly, always like smiling at each other and stuff. You don't always get that in L.A.
Well, it's very transient.
Yes.
L.A. is where people move who think they're too good for their hometown.
Well, everyone was very happy in L.A. It was very nice. Everyone was smiling. It was a beautiful day yesterday.
Restaurants were jammed.
Restaurants are open. People are out.
This new area of town I'm in, you have to call for reservations. Like a day and a half ahead of time.
Yeah, you better have a reservation.
Well, what's going on with that?
There's no more. I mean, people want to be out of their
homes.
I'm
America's honesty broker, and I can't get into a restaurant.
Well, I mean, if you show up at the restaurant, they should probably give you a table. But
the rest
of us need reservations.
So, speaking of L.A., I want to talk about the West for a second. So, San Francisco, we were on the air, Joy and I, Friday, and the Niners moved up to number 3 in the draft. And when they draft a quarterback, and that's what they'll do, in the first time in NFL history, a team will draft a quarterback in the top 3 picks within 2 years of being in the Super Bowl. It's never happened before. Why is the NFC West so hyper-aggressive? In my lifetime, I've never seen a division like this. It's insane. Arizona is the only team next year with its first-round pick. And I think there's two reasons. I mean, think about this. Seattle was 12-4. They've upgraded. Rams were 10-6, won a playoff game. They ditched their Super Bowl quarterback. Arizona, multiple moves. San Francisco, Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're getting rid of their quarterback eventually. It's insane why. The first part, and I think I'm the only sports talk show host in America that's lived in all four corners of the country. So I speak of this, and I observe for a living. That's what I do. The West is different. It's not a coincidence Silicon Valley is here. Silicon Valley is out West for a reason. That's what we do. We invent. People that move out west, you're the one guy in the family that didn't want to live for your grandpa's dreams, your dad's dreams. You wanted to chase your own dreams. I say this all the time about the West. In the East, if you get a better job, you buy a more expensive tie. In the West, you no longer want to wear one. You go to jeans, a crisp shirt, a blue sports coat, and no tie the rest of your life. We think differently out west. We do not romanticize an old church. We tear it down and build a new one, hopefully with air conditioning. It's how we roll. I lived in Connecticut for 10 years. Every house is the same. Center door colonial, mostly white. They all look the exact same. And I lived in a nice neighborhood. It's just different out here. In the Midwest, Mike Pence feels like a Midwest governor. He's just too way uptight out here. We're the adapters. We're the evolvers. People move out west who chase their dreams and want new stuff. It's just how, think about the Midwest. The Cincinnati Bengals have not made a daring move in the draft for 20 years. The Green Bay Packers have had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and they clench their teeth with every free agent dollar. The Colts are well run, but incredibly frugal. That's very Midwest. The Northeast, very, when I lived there for 11 years, bound by tradition. The South, very much into tradition. So the first part of it is this is what the West does. 49ers, Seattle, Los Angeles. These are tech centers. This is new stuff. We don't have a lot of old buildings. We just tear it down and build a new one. Even in Vegas, you don't romanticize stuff. Caesar's Palace, that wing's old. Boom, blow it up, start a new one. It's just the way we operate out West. So part of it, I think, is the sensibility of out West. Just go. The second thing is you have three great coaches and their legacies are on the line. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and then Pete Carroll, who we all kind of felt gave away that one Super Bowl. He doesn't want to be knocked off his perch by a couple of young upstarts. And then you have Arizona, which doesn't have a rich history, but their GM and their head coach are toast if they don't win soon, probably by next year. So you have this Western sensibility, which is a evolve, go for it. There's, I always say this about Californians. There's an optimism to Californians. I'm not a native Californian. I have friends who are native Californians, many. And there's a natural optimism about California. The feeling is, spend today. Tomorrow will be better. We'll just figure out tomorrow. It's how California, I mean, we got into a pandemic and had a $19 billion surplus. Like, California was the one state in the pandemic economically exploded. Zoom, DocuSign, Netflix. So I think some of it is just the Western sensibility. Just go for it. And the second part is when you have three great coaches and their legacies are on the line, and Shanahan, little of the shine is off. He's kind of one-dimensional offense. Kyle Shanahan can't win without Garoppolo. Pete Carroll gave that Super Bowl away. Can't get along with Russ. They've all got these legacies now that have been dinged in the last 12 months, dinged a little bit, and they're fighting for those legacies, and they're great coaches, and they have huge power inside the walls of their organization. So for those two reasons, it is the single most aggressive division I have ever seen in my life. All right, so I watched a lot of college basketball, especially yesterday. I sat in front of a TV and ate Fritos. So there is this sense, and I've said this, Gonzaga or the field, I'd take Gonzaga. But things emerge over the course of a tournament. You know, like you start watching teams and you're like, wow, they really, it just took them a while to find their act. So Gonzaga is the best team in the tournament, no question. What they really are, though, is easily the best offense. I mean, they honestly, have they taken a bad shot in the tournament? Everybody can handle the ball. The ball movement is incredible. Everybody's a scoring threat. They've got NBA bigs. They've got NBA guards. Jalen Suggs is going to be a great pro, first or second pick. They're really an incredible college team, especially in this 2021 where everybody, the transfer portal and people leaving and people coming and your stars leave after a year. Just, they are so fluid. It's like they've been playing together for 10 years. Like, they never pick the ball up. They never get a bad shot. But what's interesting is, and I bet them yesterday to win big, they are beautiful offensively. I've seen two or three times in my life the best offensive team not win it. Phi Slamma Jamma back in 1983. And their two pro prospects were Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, better than Gonzaga's. And they didn't win it. In 1985, I watched the best team, in my opinion, never to win it, St. John's. Mark Jackson, Chris Mullin, Bill Wennington, Walter Berry. Four NBA prospects not win it. Because when you slow down a great offense and make them play half court, what this tournament really comes down to is a handful of defensive stops in the last 5 minutes of games. Yesterday, Gonzaga actually played great defense against Creighton. Gonzaga's not a great defensive team, though they played really good defense yesterday. They don't have they've got some bigs, but they're not brilliant, what I would call rim defenders. That's not what they do. Here's what's interesting. They play USC next, and USC is not a great matchup for Gonzaga. First of all, they held Oregon last night to 38% shooting. They held Kansas to 29% shooting. They held Drake to 29% shooting. They're going to give Gonzaga real troubles. They're going to slow it down. I saw teams do this with Phi Slamma Jamma and those Chris Mullin teams. They're going to slow it down. They're not going to give Gonzaga any freebies at the rim. They're going to bat that stuff away. They got NBA bigs. They're longer than Gonzaga, so Gonzaga's getting no freebies at the rim. They're going to slow. Andy Enfield's going to slow that puppy down. Gonzaga loves playing with tempo. And the other thing is, USC's got a player named Evan Mobley, and there's nothing like him left in the tournament. He's got a little Chris Bosh. He is just great. He is just a fantastic. He'll be the second or third player taken. Jalen Suggs will be the second, third player taken. Cade Cunningham, probably first or second or third. The first three players in the draft next year are all great. It's a much better draft. The other thing Gonzaga has to deal with, they're the first unbeaten team to get this far since 1976. That's real pressure. It's one thing to be a number one overwhelming seed. To be a number one seed and have not lost. Gonzaga has not played a competitive basketball game in 3 months. And they're going to come in as a massive 8-9 point favorite. And I think USC is going to give them real problems. That basketball game has a chance to be the best game in the tournament. The best game in the tournament. So, and I know I'm buddies with Mark Few, but so much of this is matchups. And Gonzaga is easily the best offense. They're not the best defense. They're not the longest team. And I've seen great offenses. Slow them down. Don't give them freebies at the rim. It's amazing what happens when you're the overwhelming favorite and it's a four-point game with 4 minutes left. People get tight. I've seen it my whole life. People get tight. So I think Gonzaga USC is a chance for an upset. I'm not calling it, but I think it's a really fascinating matchup. USC's defense right now is suffocating everybody. They took Oregon completely out of their offense. And Oregon's a really good basketball team and a really well-coached basketball team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Interesting weekend in the NBA. The Lakers signed Andre Drummond. And Andre Drummond's only 27 years old. Okay, he's probably got four peak years left. He's a four-time rebounding champ. He's not a guy I would build around like Detroit tried. But he's a hell of a basketball player with four plays on both ends. He's an all-star multiple times. Got to the playoffs 0-for-8. And he's made $137 million. And he just said, oh, six teams wanted him. He chose LeBron. He didn't choose the Lakers. He chose LeBron. That's why he went there. And I'll get to that in a second. Celtics wanted him. Knicks wanted him. Charlotte wanted him. There were winning teams that wanted him. He chose LeBron James. The Brooklyn Nets got LaMarcus Aldridge. He's a 20-point game player on his career. He'll give you about 14 to 15 now. LaMarcus Aldridge has got four more years of good mid-range jumpers. He's a six- or seven-time All-Star. But he made $211 million. He chose Kevin Durant. That's what he chose. You're seeing this now. You saw it with Tampa Bay. A lot of guys taking pay cuts because of Brady. They're not choosing the Buccaneers. They're choosing Brady. Andre Drummond chose LeBron James. LaMarcus Aldridge didn't choose Brooklyn or Kyrie Irving. He chose Kevin Durant. Harden doesn't have a ring. When you add these superstars, there's obviously a lot of benefits. You win more. The thing that nobody ever talks about is you get a discount on about 90% of your roster. I mean, Dwight Howard was a completely irrelevant player. He goes to the Lakers, plays with LeBron, and then there's like four teams after him in free agency. Andre Drummond is going to get more exposure in 3 weeks in the Western Conference Finals and NBA Finals. In 3 weeks. Then he got in Detroit in 9 to 10 years. In a decade. That's why you choose LeBron and Durant and Brady. You just get, if you start looking at Andre Drummond gets bad mouth because he never won a playoff game. It's Detroit. They're not well run. They haven't been particularly well coached. They don't have a lot around him. They couldn't do anything with Blake Griffin. It's not a good organization. Lakers are. So Drummond's a huge get. Both ends of the floor, four-time rebounding champ, totally athletically in his prime, 27 years old. You're asking him, can you give us 20 minutes tonight? You're not asking him to lead the team. You're asking him to be the fourth or fifth best player. Same with LaMarcus Aldridge. Could you be our fifth best player? 15 a game, LaMarcus Aldridge? So that the players make so much money now so quickly, NBA and NFL. Guys get into the $100 million net worth at 27 years old. That was even 5 years ago. That's what you made in a career, $100 million net worth. Guy Andre Drummond has made $137 million. He's 27 years old. He's 27 years old. And so then you can just choose the superstar on a total discount, play for 3 months, the market, LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, especially Andre Drummond. He'll go to the market after the finals, and he'll have seven suitors. If he'd have stayed in Detroit, he'd just dry up. So the benefit of the stars, we know this, beyond like getting a Mookie Betts make you a better baseball team, players will take discounts because they make so much money early now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You just forget how much better pro athletes are from weekend warriors and even college athletes. So there was a show on about 15 years ago, And it was, they took the best flag football team in the country. These guys, 28 years old, they'd all play Division I sports. They're pretty good athletes. They were a San Diego group of guys. They were the best flag football team in the country. And they played these washed up NFL guys. I think it was Ken O'Brien, James Lofton, and it may have been Kellen Winslow. I could be wrong, but I think those are the three. They had one practice, the pros. These other guys have been playing together for years and years and years. They were Division I athletes. And they went to a dinner the night before, and the young guys are just cocky and talking trash, and the old guys are rolling their eyes. I think guys like Ken O'Brien was now in his 40s. You know, James Lofton, forget a 4.5 40. It was over. Like, it was, they were 8 years out of their prime, 8 years out of the league, forget their prime. And the pros beat them. And just, that's what they do. They're pros. The second story is, one time I was in Portland. I was doing a live shot for the Fred Meyer Challenge. It was a wildly, I don't even know if they do it anymore, wildly popular golf, charity raising golf event with Peter Jacobson, been on the tour forever, NBC commentator. And where I was doing it, Peter would host it, very funny guy, very glib guy. He was getting ready to go on and host it, but he did it from behind the tent. He was hitting some iron shots about 200 yards into a small cylinder about the size, half the size of an NBA key. One after another in this tiny little bucket in this space. At the time, Peter Jacobson was not only not in his prime, he was struggling to make the cut of golf tournaments. The difference between professionals and guys who played Division I is the Grand Canyon. You ever see those videos of Carmelo Anthony? You know, he's hitting jumpers. Carmelo Anthony could hit 19 to 20 jumpers unguarded in his mid-50s. Michael Jordan in his 50s could take 90% of the Division I players. I mean, Jordan now just sits around smoking cigars and drinking wine. He's been out of the sport 20 years. He'd still beat 90% of the college players if he gave him 2 weeks to get in shape. So this weekend, Zach Wilson had a pro day. He's the BYU quarterback, and Twitter exploded. It's embarrassing. It's ridiculous. Hey, everybody, Zach Wilson was great against air. Again, forget the fact that he's throwing to a college teammate and he's comfortable. It's indoors and he's comfortable. He's not wearing pads. There's no defense. It's all about comfort. NFL's the opposite. It's all about discomfort. Zach Wilson, do you see those throws? Folks, he's been a quarterback since he was six. He's 21, 22. He's been at every camp. He's a professional athlete now. This is what they do. They can do tricks with a football. He can make behind-the-back throws. He's going to be the number two pick in the draft. Making good throws against nobody is the minimum. Every year, people freak out about pro days. It means nothing. Nothing. This, if you've ever met somebody... Forget like the PGA Tour. What's the Korn Ferry Tour? What's the tour below the PGA? Somebody that's been golfing since they were five. Their dad was a golfer. They're a golfer. Golfing since five. They're 22 years old. They're not even on the tour. They're on the tour below the tour, the Korn Ferry Tour. You take any of those players, any of them, they can take a golf ball and a golf club and do stuff, and you're like a magician. And it's like, no, that's the bare minimum. They can do all this stuff. They can hit 100 straight nine irons, 120 yards out, within 6 feet. And they can't make the tour.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, it's called Colin Right, Colin Wrong. I'm plenty of both, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, Friday during the show... Big J Journalism, what do you know? We broke this story. Okay, breaking news. The Dolphins are trading their number three pick to the Niners. So Miami goes from 3-12, San Francisco 12-3. Dolphins also get a bunch of other picks. I am told just now, a source tells me that Miami is going to move back up to number six and trade with Philadelphia, who's got the six pick, and Philly goes back to 12. Boom, boom, boom.
What happened?
Boom.
What happened?
I just broke the story. The Eagles just announced they are trading the number six overall pick to the Dolphins for the number 12 pick overall. Uncle Colin did it. All right, whatever. Okay, I was wrong too.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've been a big Jimmy Garoppolo advocate last couple of years, but and I'll argue with anybody that I think he can play. One full season, 13-3, and got to a Super Bowl. Outplayed Patrick Mahomes first three quarters of that Super Bowl. But the dude can't stay healthy. San Francisco needs to move on. And by moving up to the number three pick, they're drafting a quarterback. And I think you have to consider if he plays well, which I think he will if he's healthy, if he plays well, moving him at the trade deadline where he has trade value because he hasn't shown an ability. Now with 17 games in the NFL, he hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy. I'll argue with anybody he's got talent, but his days in San Francisco are over.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I said Zion Williamson in college, I said he's going to walk into the NBA, and by some point in his first season, he's going to be a top 20 player. I think he's now a top 10. And he's only played 67 games this weekend. He had 39 Friday. He had 38 Saturday and a combined 74% shooting. He is such a relentless physical player that people are overwhelmed by him. And the other thing is these young stars, they play so hard early in their career. You think these veterans want to take a charge on a Friday night from Zion? But he is better than any of his critics thought, and I don't know if I thought he would be this dominant handling the ball. He is an unstoppable force. A weekend where he shot 74% is amazing.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, by the Dolphins trading out of that number three spot, it signals they are sticking with Tua. My concern, of course, being last year, off script, when protection eroded, he was awful. 45 passer rating, 45% completion percentage. Now, they did add Will Fuller, which tells you they're sticking with Tua. He's a speed receiver. And I think at number six, they may go get Kyle Pitts, the tight end. But I do think you have to be able to acknowledge some truths. And Tua looks like a player to me that a play has to be designed specifically to work a certain way. And if it doesn't, he is limited. I thought they would strongly consider taking a quarterback, but I was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Well, Joy and I kind of theorized the McVay-Jared Goff relationship, because it was great until last year. We picked the very game we thought it went sideways. When McVay lost to Kyle Shanahan, his in-division coaching rival, against the backup, I said it's over. Sean McVay turned on him that moment. Story came out this weekend. Excellent reporter, Lindsay Theory, breaks a lot of stories. She got it. That was the moment. At halftime, he was furious with Goff. After the game, McVay called out Goff. He ripped him to the press, and the relationship never recovered. That was the moment. And I said it when I predicted this. I said, it's not just losing to an in-division team, but it's losing to your coaching rival, because you and Shanahan used to coach together, and he's gotten to a Super Bowl more recently than you have. And he is beating you with a scrub, and you've got Goff. It is a bad look for McVay, and he's got an ego. He's not going to stand for that, and the story is officially out. That was Lindsay Theory reporting it. That was the moment the relationship officially ended.
Where Colin was wrong.
Okay, the Sam Darnold slander is getting ridiculous. So Kimberly Martin, this weekend, I've talked to three NFL GMs about the market for Sam Darnold. What's the most you'd be willing to give up, I asked. Two said a third pick. One said a late third was a little rich. One GM said a conditional fourth. I mean, give me a break. A conditional fourth? Kimberly Martin repeatedly told whoever trades for Darnold likely won't pick up his option this spring. So you'd only have a year with him in a new organization and a new system as you're trying to break him of bad habits. Really? He's 23. 23-year-olds can break bad habits. 33-year-old quarterbacks cannot. 23-year-old quarterbacks can break habits.
Where Colin was right?
Years ago, everybody was on the Durant's better than LeBron train. And I was like, timeout. Emotionally, LeBron is much more dependable. Physically, I'm not sure KD is dependable. Yeah. According to a story this morning, Steve Nash says Durant will be out another week. Folks, he hasn't played since mid-February. It's late March, almost April. Listen, he's a great basketball talent. But emotionally, I've never felt I can quite depend on him. And physically, I can't. So when everybody was, and this was like 3 or 4 years ago, that everybody was, when he was winning with Golden State, it was hard to find LeBron defenders. KD's better than LeBron. Stop being a prisoner of the moment. What LeBron gives you emotionally and physically is arguably the greatest thing ever in league history. So, and I like Durant. I'm a fan of Durant's game. But, man, he just doesn't play enough for me.
Where Colin was wrong.
Anthony Edwards, Minnesota's going to win Rookie of the Year in the NBA. And I hated before the draft when he said, yeah, I actually prefer football. I really like playing football. Such a turnoff for me. I'm thinking to myself, you're disengaged or disinterested already. But you know what? He's averaged 25 a game since the All-Star break. His three-point shooting is massively improved. He's shooting 35% from three. He's super athletic. That was never the question. But he felt too casual to me. Like, yeah, I'm an athlete. I don't know. I'll see how long I can play. And generally, if you look at the history of the NBA, most stars, frankly, are obsessed. They're like, basketball is their life. It's all they think about. They talk about their off-season. And he was very casual about it, and I hated it. But he's going to win Rookie of the Year now that LaMelo Ball's hurt.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I said these Kyle Lowry rumors to the Lakers. I thought this was nuts. He's 35. He struggled historically in the playoffs. You can do that in Toronto. You can't do it with the Lakers. And he doesn't dominate Eastern Conference point guards. What's he going to do out West against Dame and Steph Curry and everybody? I mean, Ja Morant. The West is loaded at point guard. Well, the Lakers didn't go and get a guard after all. They went and did the smart thing. They need a big. And they went and got Andre Drummond, which always made way more sense. Andre Drummond is 27. 7-8 years younger than Kyle Lowry. He's never won a playoff game, mostly because he was with a bad organization in Detroit. But I thought those rumors were the idea that you're going to get Kyle Lowry and kind of blow up this Laker roster. No, just get a big. AD's back in like 6-7 days. Get a big. You're going to be fine and favored to win the West again.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marino, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marino. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
And with that, we bring on our Mr. Information, Peter Schrager, Fox Sports NFL reporter. All right, time to get rolling on this stuff. So why did the Niners trade up Friday to the number 3 pick, Shregs?
First off, congratulations to Martin Truex Jr., a Jersey guy. We'll go next to this on the Niners, though. This was the big trade. 49ers move up, and everyone's like, it has to be for a single quarterback. There's got to be a guy that they love. Truth of the matter was, there's a lot of teams, the Panthers, Washington, Broncos, this is good to look at this, that might be in the market for quarterback. What the 49ers did was they put them in the best position possible to at least get a quarterback they like, which means they love at least three of these guys. You have to assume Lawrence goes one to the Jaguars. Zach Wilson, the stud out of BYU, had an incredible pro day on Friday, goes two to the Jets. The 49ers, now I don't know if it's Lance out of North Dakota State who has some holes in his game, Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback, who is quickly rising up draft boards because of a phenomenal pro day and some many interviews that he's been given, or even Justin Fields from Ohio State. But at the very least, the Niners said, okay, we've got Jimmy Garoppolo under contract for one more year. Let's at least trade up to the three, knowing we can get one of the guys that we really like. What else has got play here is they brought everybody back. Like, the Niners brought back Trent Williams. They brought back Kyle Juszczyk. They got Jason Verrett. They got all these guys that they liked and they wanted to bring back and keep, and they have. If they can keep a quarterback that they want for the future at a rookie deal for the next 4 or 5 years, that puts them in a good place where they can re-sign these other guys. It's a really smart move. It's an aggressive move. You're giving up draft picks of the future. But from what I hear, and Colin, this is going to be revisited 12 months from now, I'm sure, this year's quarterback draft group is significantly higher regarded than next year's quarterback draft group. So in a way, this isn't necessarily a strictly 2021 move. This is a 49ers building for the future saying, let's get our quarterback now. Let's get him on the team. Let's get him under contract. And we'll deal with Garoppolo and how we want to handle that over the next few months. But there is a good chance that Jimmy G is on the roster and playing this year, and they also draft a quarterback third overall.
Any chance they take Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback?
Yeah, and Colin, this is the buzz right now, that he fits what Kyle Shanahan does. And what's that mean? Well, he's athletic enough where he can move. He's cerebral, and he comes from an offense that is pro-ready, that this is the Steve Sarkisian offense. It's exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants to see. And the people that are saying it, I always try to connect the dots here. Is it a blogger? Is it a person that's on Twitter that I don't value? No, it's Chris Sims, who was Kyle Shanahan's college roommate. No, it's Dan Orlovsky, who played for Kyle Shanahan in Houston. No, it's Mike Silver, who has been covering the Shanahans for decades. It doesn't come out of thin air, and I don't think they're all in some sort of agreement to build up Mac Jones so they could take somebody else. The people that know Kyle Shanahan well and know his offense well seem to be saying Mac Jones, when a couple weeks ago, Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback in this class, behind Trey Lance, behind Fields. I think there is a lot of juice to this Mac Jones talk. I will tell you this. I think the Niners are going quarterback at three, and I know all those guys, Lynch, Shanahan, Mike McDaniel. I don't know who they're taking yet, but I wouldn't dismiss this Mac Jones stuff as a smokescreen. I think Mac Jones has a lot to show. He's throwing again tomorrow at an Alabama Pro Day. He's going to throw more than he threw last week. I think his draft stock could be rising, and it's one of those deals where, wait a second, why are we overlooking this guy? He just dominated at Alabama against real competition, when some of these other guys, they didn't play against real competition. They may not be ready right away.
Zach Wilson, is he a lock to go number two to the Jets?
I never say a lock, but I think it looks a lot more likely today than it did a couple weeks ago. And I know that a lot of Sam Darnold fans out there are saying, well, they didn't trade Sam Darnold. I don't know if Sam Darnold had the market during free agency while everyone was signing guys. This is him right there. I don't even – he looks like he belongs on Home Improvement. He looks like one of those kids. I mean, he's got I want to say a cherub is the word, but like he's got this bright-eyed face. It's a cool story. Last year, he wasn't necessarily the starter. He was overcoming an injury, and he won the job and then put on an absolute show. And I know a lot of teams flew out there thinking, all right, we'll fly out there, and then came back saying, there's no way he gets out of number two. He's going to the Jets. So around the league, the feeling is he's going two to the Jets, and it could be a similar situation as what I just laid out for San Francisco, where he goes two to the Jets. They still have Darnold on the rookie contract for another year. Maybe it's one of these deals where it's like, he didn't play anybody last year, and he didn't. There was, you know, he did not play against the same competition that Mac Jones did. Maybe it's one of those Alex Smith Mahomes type deals, yeah. And you tell Sam Darnold, you say, hey, look, you got a year audition for the rest of the league. You're not going to be our starter long term, but go and do whatever you want to do and let this kid learn underneath him. But I would think right now, if I'm doing a mock draft at the end of March, I've got Zach Wilson two to the Jets, and I'm not too worried about that decision.
Hey, by the way, this is something I brought up. The trade value for Darnold isn't great, but they add so many free agent and draft pieces. This could be a very interesting team. Let Darnold play for 7 weeks. All of a sudden, they're 5-2. Sam Darnold's going to get you a first-round pick if you're a Washington or another team. So I agree with you. This idea that Darnold has to go, hey, Jimmy G, Darnold, let him play for 7 weeks, get off to a good start, they become first-round picks.
And I would be honest with them, Colin. I would say to Sam Darnold, say, look, you're not the quarterback of our future, but we want you here for this year, and we want you to put on a show. Have an audition. Like, go nuts this year. You've got all these new players. You've got Corey Davis. You got the new running back. You got the new go have a great season, and either A, we'll trade you before the deadline, or B, better yet, you sign a mega deal in free agency. You know, you have to be devoid of ego in this league. And I think Trubisky is a good example of, hey, we're bringing you back. You go to the playoffs, and the following year, you're a free agent signing for $2 million. That's just how it goes sometimes. But if the other way of it is you look at Tannehill, you look at some of these other guys, have a great season and go make money elsewhere and go ball out for another team if that's what happens.
Which quarterback prospect? Listen, Dak went in the fourth round, Russell Wilson in the third. We know Brady's story. There's always somebody in the third or fourth round that can play. Who is it this year?
I think the Stanford quarterback's interesting. Probably not a first-round pick. Davis Mills is his name. Really smart, really good, moves well, had a really good pro day in the rain. And a lot of teams are saying to me, like, all right, you've got that top five, but like this guy's one of those that'll go early second. When I hear that in March, that means late first. You know, like if everyone's saying, well, he's the early second guy, usually that guy gets bumped up and someone trades up to get him in the first round. I didn't watch a ton of him in college, and I got to admittedly say with the Pac-12, with how wacky their season was with games and not games, like it didn't do him a ton of favors. One of those guys that teams are going to say, all right, it's a value. Let's go get him. This guy is smart, can play, and was one of the top high school recruits in the country.
By the way, the Tua thing's interesting. Dolphins basically trade out. They're going to go with Tua. Are you shocked at all by that?
A little bit, because the last two times we saw Tua, he was getting benched week 16 and then week 17.
Yes.
Couldn't get the job done. I'm not sold on him 100% yet, and I get crushed by Dolphins fans saying, what's your gripe against Tua? There's no gripe. I just haven't seen it yet, but they're essentially saying, let's go get a wide receiver or a tight end, then we're going to trade back to the 12th pick, and we're pretty content with Tua. So I trust Brian Flores. He knows what he has, but in the biggest moment, he went to Ryan Fitzpatrick over Tua.
Yeah. By the way, the Eagles trade out of 6 to 12, so that means they're all in on Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah, I think so as well. They would have stayed there at 6 and said they trade back to 12. They're looking at this class, and here's where the Eagles, I've spoken to guys there. It's like, we've got 11 picks this year. If Carson Wentz plays 75% of his snaps, we have 3 picks next year in the first round. So as much as we're in salary cap hell and all the things that you can say about, oh gosh, what happened to this team overnight? They're pretty set with an opportunity to build a young, inexpensive team over the next 2 years. So whereas I think the Dolphins are all in on Tua, I would say Jalen Hurts might be the quarterback for 2021. But if they have 3 first round picks next year, the Eagles might be looking at all positions in 2022.
Shregs. Good talking to you, buddy. I love this time of the year.
I love it. I love when truck racing is an appetizer to us, my friend. It's the perfect setup. Martin Truex, baby. Let's go.
All right. Peter Schrager. Good stuff.